My name is Sharon Sturica, and I am a certified Feldenkrais practitioner and assistant trainer. And I'm here to talk a little bit, or quite a bit, about running. But I thought I'd start off talking a little bit about myself, giving you some history and background about myself, and how that pertains to the deep passion that I have for running and how I've utilized the Feldenkrais method myself, for myself in my running, as well as all my clients and my practice over the years. So in saying that, I guess to begin with is I have been an athlete. I consider myself an athlete, runner, triathlete, since I was 17 years old. And what happened to me is when I was 20, quite some time ago, 1983, I was hit by a semi-truck on my bicycle. I was actually pulled up underneath the truck, and I underwent several surgeries, all on my left side, losing three different muscle groups in my left leg, breaking my pelvis, the femur, ankle bones, the shoulder. And at that point in my life, the doctors came to a pretty quick conclusion. They didn't think I'd ever be able to run again. And I wasn't really in a place in my life to hear that. And so I searched for some alternative ways of thinking, and that's what brought me to the Feldenkrais method. I was very fortunate to work with an incredible practitioner up in Newport Beach. And working with her and also attending, I believe it was 2 weeks at the Esalen Institute up in Big Sur, I began to start running again and running without pain. And I just felt a deep, deep connection to learning about this work and discovering more of how to use it for myself. And I didn't even think at that time what the applications would be really for others, but really was for myself. So following that period of time, I was waiting to get into a training program because actually Moshe Feldenkrais was very ill at the time, and there was not any certainty about how the method was going to continue on and how trainings would develop and so forth. So I was on a waiting list. And so I had some tapes of his and other tapes and his books. So I actually went over to Europe and lived in France for about 9 months and returned to being a competitive triathlete and runner. And one of the greatest things that happened for me during that time was to use just the information I had as a template, I guess, for learning. So I just had some tapes in the books, and every day I would do some Feldenkrais with myself, exploring, learning, developing a clear understanding for me of how I could run again, how I could do my sports again, become athletic again without having any pain or creating other problems, compensating, so forth. So it was a really incredible time for me of discovery and, again, learning the depths, the beginning of the depths of the Feldenkrais method. And so in saying that, I was really quite fortunate because during that period of time, I competed all over Europe and did extraordinarily well in both triathlons, half marathons, marathons, and really felt quite exuberant, I guess would be a great word, and thrilled to be able to be back athletically from this method. And then from that, I came back and got into a training program for the next 4 years, and then have been a practitioner ever since. But I felt like what was important talking about that history about myself is for the listeners to understand my background, first of all and foremost, in running and as an athlete. but also what I've gone through, the injuries that I had and the recovery that occurred for me from doing the Feldenkrais method. And through the recovery and refinding myself and finding my ability to run again, which is my greatest passion in the world, I came to love the Feldenkrais method equally. And there was this immediate connection between my ability to use myself and my body and learning this method. And so in saying that, kind of, I guess I'll fast forward to that. Yes, I have this incredible passion for running. And I think one of the reasons I have such a passion for running is because it's so effortless and easy for me. And many people find that really kind of unbelievable, considering that I've had actually 13 surgeries on my body and 9 on my left leg, and that I find it easy. So I think one of the things is, well, like, how is it easy, and where did the ease come from? And within ease is a sense of effortlessness as well. And so again, how did I get there? And so then I'll swing back to, you know, first and foremost was my discovery, my experience being introduced to the Feldenkrais method, and how much it incredibly changed my life in 1983 and 84, because I was in constant pain and there was no foreseeing a possibility for me to ever run. And here I am 27 years later, still running. So I think very similar to one of the other members on our panel, Edward, is that in my discovery process of myself with the method was discovering ways of ease. And as he spoke so eloquently about, is letting go and how one lets go, and you're in a process of discovery and learning new ways, new possibilities, new opportunities. And definitely behind that, for me, is a real high level of curiosity. And, you know, how can I do this? And especially in my situation where I now was presented with many limitations. I now was missing 3 muscle groups in my left leg, and my left leg is just not put together like my right leg. And so I had to approach becoming an athlete again and running again from a standpoint of how am I going to find a way that is going to be usable, doable, with ease, with effortlessness. And so I really had to become curious and learn and discover. And especially realizing my left leg's never going to be like my right leg. And that was huge, because often we look for, there's words out there like symmetry and balance. Those are really big words, like symmetry, balance, things being equalized. And there's nothing equal now about my two sides. So really my new lens became finding how I could utilize or use myself in the most effortless but functional way with my left leg. And so that became kind of my lens, what I looked for myself. And in that discovery, I found that I had to use my left leg, or develop using my left leg, in a very different way than my right leg. And that was okay. And that presented functionality and ease. And I guess functionality is a really important word to me, because function means the ability to carry out the action with ease, with elegance, not powering through it with muscles. So that's my definition. That's how I think of functionality. And that's what I really needed to find for myself. Kind of flashing back again to after my accident and going over and living in France and Europe, I didn't realize it at the time, but now years later, I realize it was such a gift and an opportunity that I was over there by myself, and all I had was, I think, 5 or 6 books of Moshe's and a couple sets of tapes, and that was it. And so I was really left to my own devices to listen and discover and learn for myself. And one of the richest experiences for me was to re-listen to these same tapes over and over again. Yet every time I re-listened to the same ATM lesson, I found a new awareness. I got more curious about another relationship inside of myself. And more coming from a place of questioning, like, oh, well, wow, I just felt this, and I felt this new different connection, and I wonder how I will use that to function clearer or different or better for myself. So it's really an extraordinary time for me because I didn't have anybody to learn from but myself and these same lessons. And I kind of got fascinated that I could repeat the same ATM over and over again, yet my level of learning got deeper and richer. And I just kept on dropping myself into different ways of experiencing the lesson. Again, different connections, different clarity, learnings. It was extraordinary. And it gave me an opportunity to find what felt optimal, what worked, what didn't work, or what did I use for running, but maybe something else I used for a different modality, biking or swimming. Anyways, that was my learning, my lens prior to even being in my training program. And I think the greatest gift that that gave me was the ability to really drop into myself and love and cherish learning. And I just love to learn. And loving to learn, it opens up so much for oneself. So that was, again, that's kind of my experience and sharing with you my experience of how I got to where I am today. So those are some of the important, I'm going to say, ingredients for me. Very similar to like Edward is the learning, the curiosity, for me, a high level of passion, desire, and also fun. Just, you know, it's very playful and fun. There's a lot of excitement for me and always discovering new things. I just always am loving to learn newness. And so I think those are really important ingredients to finding or discovering a better way to run or a better way to do any sport or anything, frankly, in your life. I'd say anything. Because to me, as Moshe said, movement is life. So learning to move and exploring and bringing higher levels of functionality to oneself leads to a greater feeling of living one's life. In that, though, I'd say I started on this path once I got my running back and competing back of really having a curiosity for myself of like, how do I do this? How is it that running is so easy and effortless for me? So I had a lot of curiosity about that, and that how could I help others find that ease for themselves? Because one of the things I notice in our culture is running tends to have a real bad rap. And many people think, oh, running isn't good for you. It's bad for you. It's bad for your knees. It's compression on the skeleton. And yet, for me, my experience is not that at all. I don't experience that. I experience running creates a tremendous amount of freedom. Just it's so easy for me and effortless that it's just the greatest feeling of energy that's generated. And again, that's freedom for me, just this freedom, this lightness, this powerful feeling of moving through space. Exploring the world, seeing so much of the world by running is an incredible experience in life. So I don't share that experience of it feeling difficult or compressive or bad. And yet many people will say that, or doctors have said that, you know, it's bad for you. And so I don't believe that it's bad for you. I believe that there are ways people run that can create harm for themselves. I certainly do, and I've seen that. But I think those people could learn a better way, biomechanically, functionally, that they wouldn't hurt themselves. So I went on my journey through doing the Feldenkrais method and my own running of coming up with, how do I find these places for myself? What is my experience? What is my feeling? How do I articulate that? How can I communicate that? Which I've done over the years through workshops and clinics and through the Feldenkrais community conferences and all kinds of settings. And I'd say each time that I've presented material, it's as much for a Feldenkrais practitioner. You're always learning. You see what material, you know, is useful. How can I change it? How do I grow with it? And so really over the last at least 15, 18 years, I've been doing workshops for triathletes, swimmers, bikers, runners, and I keep learning, developing my own sense of communication and bringing awareness and a level of learning and discovery to people that come in hopes to present to them a way to find the place that I experience all the time. And so I think very much that in that, that, yes, there is discovery and learning, all those things, and curiosity are really important. But I think one thing that makes me maybe a little bit different than other people out there is that I do feel there are certain things, very specific, I call them ingredients again, very specific things that one, you can direct one's attention and learning to, that is going to make a significant change for them. And I've kind of developed my whole practice now being around this. And I think that these, I'm going to say key ingredients, awarenesses, are critical. And if a person doesn't get to some of these places, they will continue to not have a great experience, let's say running or skiing or something like that. And so I do feel that these key ingredients are important. And so I'm just going to give a couple examples of some. And I think in saying that, what's important is it's not imitating the key ingredient. It's the person discovering the key ingredient inside of themselves. But I do feel really strongly about that there are key ingredients actually in all sports, being an athlete like I am, that if you find these, they will put you on the path of transforming your running. Despite how different all of us have different biomechanics, despite all of our differences. And that's what I really discovered over my lifetime here, doing both the Feldenkrais method and running and being an athlete, is there are just certain things that just are what they are. And if you can find these for yourself, it is going to shift you into a very high level of functioning with that sport. So anyways, my examples. I'm kind of repeating, being redundant here. So one example, and this example I have to give credit to, is Larry Goldfarb, who's a practitioner and trainer and one who I adore and learn so much from. So in one of his, I believe it was a workshop at one of the conferences, and it was around feet, and he created the image of a tripod. And the tripod being weight being just distributed between the ball of the big toe, the ball of the pinky toe, and your heel. And so you have these three points that create a triangle tripod. And that first and foremost is just discovering how does this tripod show up for you, A, and then starting to put some feeling and sense of how do you distribute weight over that tripod. And so we did this on our backs with our knees bent, feet standing. And in that, again, so I guess once an ingredient or an idea, a template like that is presented, then to me it's up to the person to enter their learning, their discovery, and see what this all means to them. So do you roll more to the inside, to the outside, forward, back? So if you were to start to give measurements or percentages of weight, what shows up for you? And not looking for that it has to be even, like that's not the goal. It's the awareness of like, okay, here's this idea of a tripod. And what does that mean for me? And then that takes you, that imagery takes you into a discovery of what you do with your foot. And then what does that mean for your ankle? What does that mean for your tibia and fibula, the lower part of the leg? What does that mean for your knee? Well, that tripod, for me, and in the way that I instruct or help people in my running workshops or privately running, is key. It's key because that is the base for what happens everything above you. And so to have an image like that, the tripod, it to me it allows a person to discover and feel and learn in many maybe more useful ways than just saying, how is your foot? So I guess I like imagery. And I like concrete ideas like that, that a person can draw their awareness and attention to, and they learn from that. And then in saying that, it is really critical and important to learn certain things then about the biomechanics around the foot. What happens with the ankle? What happens with the knee? What happens inside the pelvis with the hip joint over that tripod? And you are always discovering and learning, but I really feel in my teaching, it's my teaching, that I find those, again, images extraordinarily useful. And so I use them. And I don't think coming across to people like right or wrong. But again, I like the idea that it's an image, but it's something that they can grab onto. Okay, a tripod. And then how do I make sense of this, of what's happening above once they get that? So I guess in many ways I use these little tools that I have to assist people in their learning, discovery, curiosity. And it's an assisting, again, the imagery of understanding the biomechanics. I think that's really important. My experience is that people need that. And it makes, when they come to my clinics or workshops, it really allows them to make a significant jump forward in understanding themselves and learning for themselves. I think it's fine to just discover and feel movement, but then how do you apply what you're feeling? There needs to be an application about what you're feeling and then how you translate what you're feeling into the action. So that's very important to me, and I found that that is what I do as a runner, and that I have these ways of using myself that are quite effortless. And so I want to give those ideas or images or platforms back to people to see if then they find in themselves these new ways of carrying out a better way, a more effortless way to function. And then another person that I have to give a lot of credit to, that I really did a lot of research, of his research, I should say, or learning from his research, was a man by the name Serge Grachowski. And he wrote, I'm going to say it's more like a thesis book called The Spinal Engine. And actually, the trainer who brought this, I'm going to say, thesis book to my attention was Dennis Leary, who was my trainer, and I'm so grateful to for all the learning that I've received from him. And so a lot of my experience, again, about running and thinking of biomechanics and stuff became reflective of his, again, I'm going to call it a thesis or book. And I had to go to him to get a copy of it. And similar directionality to, again, reflecting or referring to Edward, he talked about the rotation, and I think he was making reference to Ruthie Alon about the axis and stuff. That's kind of what this spinal engine talks a lot about. But actually, in a nutshell, what really gave me so much interest and curiosity is that he took individuals that were no longer had the use of their legs, that were quadriplegic, and he realized that they could still locomote by hooking them up to electrodes and watching what happened, that through the thoracic rotation of the spine, one could still locomote. And that drew my attention to really looking and understanding what happens in the spine and how significant that is for propelling oneself forward. The legs just happened to land there, but really in my teaching, I put a huge awareness and emphasis on what happens in the trunk. And so from looking at his research, and it's just fascinating, I started looking at myself and, again, noticing what do I do when I'm out running, and reflecting back about what he wrote, and seeing that that is a very, very key place for one's attention to become aware of is what is happening inside the spine and with rotation and with the trunk. And the other thing that he brought to my attention and my learning, and very much what I think about in my practice, and certainly it occurs in running, occurs in life and movement, but he used the word coupling a lot, and how we couple together different directionalities of movement. And it's just kind of interesting what directions of movement create propelling oneself forward. And again, rotation is the strongest direction, then there's flexion, extension, then there's also side bending. And so, but he talks about how we couple those directions together and how the coupling occurs differently in different situations for different action. And so, again, I pondered a lot about his writings and how that applied to running, to all sports, to golf, to tennis, horseback riding. You know, how do we orchestrate for ourselves these different directions, and how these different directions together make up a functional action? So those are two references of where a lot of my knowledge came from, and kind of how I developed my path of teaching and bringing awareness to people for running, for any sport, and for life. And kind of how I approach, I guess, how I approach working with people individually, or how I approach teaching my clinics or even my online ATM classes. Okay, so I'm just pausing here for a moment, thinking about what I've covered and what I've said, and kind of seeing if I can maybe wrap wrap up my talk. I think I've presented some of my ideas or philosophies. I think to circle back around a little bit about myself is that the other thing that's really interesting to explore for oneself is, and it's a big conversation that goes on right now, which I think is a very healthy conversation, is cross-training. And that's very much, I think of cross-training like in Feldenkrais terms is like doing different ATMs and how there are different variations in different ATMs. And so if you break an awareness through movement lesson down, you'll start to see that there are these different variations. And sometimes one might ask themselves, wow, this variation doesn't seem like it's reflective or has anything to do with an earlier movement, let's say. And so it's something that might be very distal from what we think we're after. And yet, sometimes it's those very distal awarenesses and learnings that have really a potent effect on learning something easier with greater ease, reducing the effort. And I find that I have a lot of curiosity and a lot of fun learning around that. It's part of a lot of my enthusiasm teaching awareness through movement lessons is that it's just always extraordinary and fascinating to think that way and to see that there isn't like a specific chain event that's going to make everything happen perfect or effortless. There are these variations. And so variations I think of in like ATM lessons, again, like in a way like cross training. And so often when people come to see me or they want to improve, whether it's running, golf, something about themselves, is that looking at in a broader spectrum how anything in themselves can improve. If anything changes and improves, the whole system improves. And so then how does that translate into the activity that they love or they want to have greater sense of ease about? So I think very much cross-training and exploring using yourself in a variety of ways is too very useful. And so for myself, I came from a place where all I did was run. And then doing my triathlons was running, biking, swimming, and being in the gym to yoga and Pilates and obviously Feldenkrais doing awareness through movement and all different things. And then I'm also a skier and I'm constantly taking up now new sports. So last year I took up skate skiing. I had no idea how to skate ski. It's completely different than downhill skiing. And so again, it's fascinating to me as an athlete and as a practitioner. There's no end to learning, no end. And so when you put yourself into learning something that you've never done before, you know, it's very childlike and there's falling and there's being destabilized, which is a huge word to learn about. There's something very powerful and becoming destabilized and finding a new way to stabilize with a new activity. And that's something that I had to go through and learn in skate skiing. And frankly, it was very humbling, because I felt like I have this aerobic capacity with all the years of running. And then I got on skate skiing, I was out of breath, like 200 yards trying to climb up a little hill. Because it required my nervous system to put itself together in such a different way. But why I'm talking about this, what was so beautiful about learning to skate ski, and again, I'm still learning. I have no level of mastery yet, but learning is that it allowed me to discover different ways and different muscle groups to use myself. It brought learning and curiosity back to me in a fresh way. But the most incredible thing that happened for me was that I didn't run. I just decided last year, because I now live in Park City, Utah, up in the mountains, I just decided not to run at all. and just to take off like 6 months and just see what happens if I ski and take up this skate skiing and do variations. And so it's just like an experiment for myself, because there's just such a tendency for us to go out and as runners think, okay, if we put in the miles and we train, this is going to be the outcome. So I kind of did the opposite. I took 6 months on, didn't put any miles in. And so what happened by taking up skate skiing and just utilizing my body and my muscles and stuff in all these different ways, different activities, is that I started running last March, April, is when I started to run again. And my running showed up even more effortless, which was surprising to me because I thought I was already at a pretty accomplished level of the effort being, the effortlessness being there. And I shot to this other level, and I was, it's been a really extraordinary experience because in some ways I was in shock. I was kind of like at this beginning place of like, I don't know how I'm doing this, how I'm running so fast, but I am. And over just going out and running then all the time, I could start to break it down and feel what was really happening for me that was making it so effortless. But it was just extraordinary that it didn't show up from doing the running. It showed up from me actually learning an entirely different sport and activity that I had to, you know, I relearned all these new things. And in those discoveries, it actually made what I already knew to do better. So what was really wonderful for me this summer is I really challenged myself. I decided to compete in 5 races in 11 weeks, which means basically racing every other weekend. And these are not small races, but 2 half marathons, a 16 miler and 2 marathons. And the 2 marathons were back to back. Anyways, not only accomplishing doing them all, but I'm very proud to say I placed 1st and 2nd in all of them and had amazing times. So in the last marathon, I ran a 3:15, which is pretty amazing, and had a split of, I think it was 1:27. So I hadn't run those times since I was 27 years old. And it was like, wow, what happened? And so I just thought I would throw that story in because it's been an amazing learning for me of kind of letting go of so much of the training and freeing myself up from that way we can be with training as runners and recognizing that doing other sports and other activities, this cross training, can actually improve your running and I think overall make you a more functional person having other activities and, you know, learning different activities. So I also wanted to share that aspect, and it's led me to incorporate that with, again, my private practice and then how I encourage people to go out and explore other opportunities. Like, for example, like with golfers, it's like they go out and want to just hit buckets of balls and practice that swing. And more so now I'm encouraging them to, you know, maybe get into a yoga class or maybe go swimming or doing a different activity. And how allowing yourself to learn and develop in a different activity can circle around to you developing more awareness and learning in the activity that you love so much. So I think that's another really important ingredient as a runner, as an athlete, is pulling in those other activities. And both in a setting of Feldenkrais, but also other activities, other sports, that cross training. And again, what it did for me and how much it impacted my level of running. It just kind of, like, again, shocked me that I was able to run so incredibly well. Like I said, I'm 20 years older and ran like I did when I was 27. So it was really a remarkable experience. So it was, again, a learning and a gift for me and something that now I'm carrying over into my teaching for others. So yeah, cross training. And I think in that, again, the learning, the discovery, and then there are, again, I hate to use the word techniques, but there are like images and certain things that I pull in to that are important in the biomechanics. And there are certain biomechanics for skate skiing that are completely different than downhill skiing, that's completely different than tennis, than different than running. And I do think those in key ingredients assist a person to a higher level of awareness about the activity, of what the activity and the action really is that they are doing. What do they need to do for running? How important is that foot, that tripod? Why? Why is the rotation of the spine so important to propel the self forward? I think that learning and that understanding is very important for people, and I like to provide that for people. It's great to just roll on the floor and discover, but we need some place to take it to understand how it's going to become functional and how to execute, I guess, the running or the activity. So in a way, that's, again, that circles around how I do my practice and my experience of how I experience running in all my athletic sports. And again, what a joy it was for me this last year, and I'm continuing this year to continue to discover, to learn the skate skiing. And then I have to say, the other thing I took up this last summer that terrifies me is mountain biking. Because of my accident, I am a complete chicken, and I get really nervous because it's very destabilizing. So I stay on very, very flat kind of surfaces. But it's, again, it's a discovery for me of really a deep level of allowing myself to be destabilized and yet finding stability in the destabilizing. I think that's a great place to learn. And I like to encourage people now to bring other activities into their lives besides just the sport they want to be good with. So, I don't know, I think I've covered it all. So, I've said a lot, and I hope everything that I've said is useful about my background, the years and the time of my life that I have been running. I absolutely love to run. It's just the greatest experience to me in life. To do something so effortlessly, so easy, it's so freeing. It's such a great way for me to just free the thoughts of my day, and I don't know, just get a tremendous high to go out on the mountains here on trails and get lost with myself. So having that passion so deeply towards running, I've not only got to have it since my accident for the last 27 years in my life, but I found the gift of the Feldenkrais method, and I've been able to help others find ways for themselves through the method of greater ease, whether it's running, biking, in any sport or just in life. And actually, that's probably the thing that gives me the greatest passion of all, is helping or opening up a learning, a place for people to discover for themselves, and realizing that it's all inside of them. It's just them becoming aware and making the choice that they want to learn and want to be curious and want to feel, and how that shows up changing so many aspects in their life is, I think every practitioner could agree, it's probably one of the greatest gifts we all can do in life, and we all love it so much, we're all so drawn to it, is, and that we love sharing it with more and more people, is for people to come to that for themselves. So in saying that, I'll sign off, and I thank you for this opportunity to share myself with all of you, and for you all to be so gracious to listen to what I have to say. Thanks, and again, this is Sharon Sturica. Bye for now.